born that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Oh, sing it again. Oh, how great is our God. How great is His Word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Oh, let's sing it one more time now. Oh, how great is our God. How great is His Word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? And I may have sung that different all three times, but that's okay. I've been spending a lot of time in the hereafter lately, going to a room and wonder what I'm here after. I think it has something to do with getting over that 40 mark. I don't know, but my mind comes and goes, and most of the time it's done went. So, but I come to have a good time tonight. I come to have church. Did y'all come to have church? Okay, so you don't have to be nervous now. You know who I am. You know what we do. You know how I do this. So are you ready to have church? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this old song, This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through. Let's try the key of G. Amen. Are you glad this world's not your home? There's nothing good down here anymore. There's nothing here that excites me. The only thing I get excited about is seeing what's happening and knowing that I'm one step closer to getting out of here. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, they're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. See me through, though I am weak and poor, that I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door,
shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, I am thinking of a rapture in that blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. The heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like and free from all sin. Hallelujah. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing o'er that city will when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, watch thy
sing that third verse again. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. The angels all will listen. Let that sink in for a minute. The angels that are created have never sinned, but still can't sing this song. You know, last week there was 70-some thousand people that would take their hands down in Atlanta and clap and make all sorts of racket when the Patriots scored the game-winning score or whatever. What can we do to sing a verse like this and think about the greatness in this, in the words here of what we got to look forward to? We ought to be excited too. There's not many here tonight, but that's okay. Two people, Paul and Silas, opened all the doors in the jail with their singing. So let's just take our hands and let's just sing this song and let's just give the Lord praise. I'm telling you, saints, He's got something in store for us tonight. Just reach out there and take it. Let's sing this. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. Oh, in the redeemed are gathering in, oh my. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout. I just get so excited, Brother David, when I picture that and I see those angels part as the bride comes down and sings, Amazing Grace. And they can't sing it with us. How sweet the sound that saved, oh, rich life. Seats. The musicians play that softly there. We do want to welcome all of our visitors this evening. We want to welcome the Pascals from West Virginia. Hope I said that right. Good to have you with us here, and all those that's visiting with us. We got quite a few that's out with sickness this evening, so we want to remember the McCaffertys, the sickness in their family. We want to remember the Ivies. We want to remember Sister Hannah Whitlock, who has the full-blown flu. We want to continue to remember little Henry Coffey. We want to continue to remember Sister Caitlin Florian. And we want to also continue to remember Sister Amber McCall. She had the flu and had sepsis this week and just really, really weak. She's at home doing some better, but still needing a touch from the Lord. Also, Sister Karen Buchanan is not here. She's not feeling well, so let's remember her. Continue to remember my mom. She's here, but doing some better, but still needs a touch from the Lord. Also, we want to remember the Kathy family that's not here. We want to remember Sister Carol Henley. We want to continue to remember Sister Faye Gregg. She's not here, not feeling well. Brother Joe's not here. Remember him as well. Good to have Sister Frieda back with us. We want to continue to remember Sister Rachel Pritchard. That's not here also. Continue to remember Sister Caroline Jackson, who is recovering from her surgery. We want to continue to remember Brother Jeremy Clavel, who's not here. He's traveling on his way home. Should be in tonight. So we just ask the Lord to give him safe traveling mercies. Want to continue to remember Sister Connie Hughes, who is recovering from her surgery as well. We want to remember the Cockman family, who is away. Also continue to remember Sister Jackie Sylvester. And we want to remember Sister Tracy Rabin. And also remember Brother Brian McCall, as he's got to head out in the wee hours of the morning, just a little after midnight on a trip. So let's pray for him. I know there's many needs among us, because we're a needy people. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Richard Smith if he would come and take these requests. Let's all stand, and I'll have Brother Richard take these requests before the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we're able to be here tonight, Lord, and there's just so many, Father, that's just out and suffering in one way or another, Lord, and people who are traveling, and we just pray that you just minister to all the folks, Lord, that are sick. There's so many, Lord, seems to be sick, and in the schools, Lord, there's just students that out that are, a lot of them are out. Some schools had to close because of so many students were out, Lord, sick, and we just, there's so much that's going on now, Lord. We know things are getting near to the end time, Lord, and we just pray that we'll just, you just help us, Lord, to be able to follow through, Lord, and just stay strong and have the courage, Lord, to just make it through. We just thank you for all your blessings, Father, and we just pray for the message tonight, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, just to let it be given to us and let us receive it, Lord, with open hearts, and then try to do the will of the Lord God, Lord, what His Word says for us to do. We just thank you so much, Lord, for all your blessings. We just praise you, Lord, and give you all grace, glory, and honor, Father. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You can be seated. We have Brother Matt's going to give us a special tonight, but before he does, I want to do a special, but I want to do it with y'all. Y'all sing a special with me before Brother Matt does his special. I want y'all to sing this with me. This is an old song that I absolutely love. Don't you know that God is real? Because He lives in my soul. That should be in the databases. I got that message that I want to sing to all those that don't believe. It's real simple. I don't need some scientific evidence to prove to me that God is real. Because I know what I was before. And I know what I am now. And there's only one way that could have changed. And that's through the power of the blood. Let's sing this old song, the key of G. And I may sing it wrong. Like I said, I've got some mental issues here lately. So you can help me. If I sing it wrong, just grab a note and hang on. How's that? Let's start with that chorus. My God is real. Oh, my God is real. There we go. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. But His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
His holy power. everybody knows this. I'm not sure how many of us know the verses, but I wanted to sing it together so we could learn the verses together.
Dear Lord.
song. Sing it again. Sounds so good.
So thankful that he gives us the strength to press on, because I certainly don't want to turn back. There's nothing to turn back to. What can we do but press on? Amen. Let's have the ushers come at this time. We'll receive our evening tithe and offering. Amen. Brother Mike, if you would bless the offering for us. Amen. As Brother Barry comes, let's sing that song, Have Your Way. Have your way.
Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity we have. As brief as these times are, in comparison to eternity, they're just little tiny dots on the line. But Lord, to us they're precious, they're special, because we have the opportunity to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, you have the opportunity to come and visit us and speak to us. May all we do tonight bring glory and honor to you. We give you thanks and praise for all you have accomplished. And now, Lord, I pray you just enrich the hearts of your people. Minister to the many, many families and individuals who are sick tonight and need your touch, Lord. Many who are listening, we commit them into your care now, praying that you would be to them the great physician, the great healer, and may your healing virtue flow to them. May nothing stand in the way now today. May all be put under the blood of Jesus Christ. We commit our time tonight into your hands in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And all the believers said, amen. You may be seated tonight. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Come on, Steve. We'll have you come right on. We're going to do a little presentation here tonight on the trip. The boys went to Alaska, and so they're going to come tonight. All three of them are going to come and share a little about their experience in the far north. And I appreciate the boys' willingness to go. Saves the pastor. Steve.
Bless you. Thank you, Brother Barry, and I don't want to take very long, but I thought it'd be nice if we give you a little play-by-play of what happened on the trip, because it's a pretty unique trip and it's pretty cool, and sometimes it's nice to be able to see what goes on while everyone's away. So I thought that'd be nice. And then how many of you looked at the website or the social media page and saw the post about Alaska? Raise your hands. Quite a few of you. Well, thanks, Sister Sarah, my wife, when you get a chance, because she's the one that puts that up there. And I think that's great to have, because a lot of times you can see and just reminds you, and if you see it, you should always remember to pray for the people who are on the trip. So I had the unique privilege of being able to travel with John Anthony and Julian, two seasoned missionaries on the field, and it was actually really great. I actually really enjoyed traveling with them. Sister Anna, Sister Visaki, we were talking yesterday about, they were asking me what makes a good traveler, because I like to travel with people who are good travelers. I don't like traveling with just anybody. And my wife is a good traveler, and it turns out these guys are good travelers. And they asked me, what do you mean by a good traveler? Well, a good traveler is someone who's really fast in the airport, so they're not going to slow you down.
Yeah. Amen.
And then, you know, and they can
it's
just
all right.
Handle themselves, and they can take care of it. They can think for themselves, and then I got to be real careful what I say. But then they can eat whatever they're given.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's rude not to eat what
yes,
you're
sir.
Given, and also to know how to eat, because
yeah.
if you eat the wrong thing, then
yeah.
you got a whole other issue. So you can't be rude, but you got to eat what they
yeah.
give you. And then someone who can also just be by themselves and not pester you
yeah.
to death.
Yeah, amen.
You're studying and you're trying to,
amen.
You know, to deal with
good.
Things, and they can kind of just slip in there. But
this
these guys were
stuff.
Actually really great. And then also, I think a good traveler is someone who actually cares about the people that they're going
amen.
To visiting. And these guys did. And
amen.
They might not think they did, but I can tell when somebody really cares about it. And I think they did. Matthew 24:14, it says, that you were to go into all the world and be a testimony to the truth.
Yes.
And it doesn't say that there's going to be converts everywhere, but it says that you're supposed to go and be a testimony.
Yes.
So that's what we do when we go on these trips. And this was still within the USA, but it's far enough away
mm-hmm.
to seem like a mission trip. But that's what we were doing, is just being a testimony.
Sure.
And the scripture also says, don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example.
Amen.
And I think that was our mission, and that was our goal. So this is where we were, and we were in Alaska, and what we did is we flew into Anchorage, which is right here, down towards the south. So we were right there. And then what we did is we were planning to go to the Eskimo village to just to be with the saints there, because they don't have a lot of visitors that come through because they're very, very out in the bush. So we were going to go to a little place over here that's called Bethel, which is a town that's separated from the rest of Alaska, and you can't get there by car or snowmobile or anything like that, and then go out to the coast right here on the edge, right on the edge of the Bering Sea, to the Eskimo village, which is called Chivac. So the play-by-play, and I'll show some pictures, and I'll probably say everything that they've already prepared to say, but I'll give them a few minutes just to say how the trip affected them, but I'll just give you a brief overview of the trip. We landed in Anchorage, and this is Anchorage. It's surrounded by mountains. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you ever get a chance to go to Anchorage, go there and visit the believers. It's absolutely amazing. So we landed there, and this is the church. It's a little tiny church right next to Brother Flint Take's house. Brother Flint has been the pastor there for a very long time. He's a faithful brother and just a top-notch guy. And he's a real spiritual brother, has a real good testimony, real faithful, a great pastor, and I really appreciate his ministry and his work. So it was an honor to be able to be there with him. This is a little church, and that little door right there is the study, and then that's actually the back of the church. So we spent two services there. So we were going to spend Saturday and Sunday there, and then we were going to go to Chivac. So this is one of the services there. I believe that was Sunday morning. So it's about 35, 40 believers there, and some of them are Eskimos, natives, and some of them are from other places who have moved to Alaska, but just a real fine group of believers. That's Brother Flint right there, and we held two services there. Then they've got a great youth group, and that's John Anthony there on the left, and there's some of the believers there that are meeting. And then they had a potluck. And I told them, I said, now listen, you guys, the Southerners know how to do potlucks, but you guys hold a pretty close second. And they brought all kinds of stuff, and it was great. It was a great potluck. So we had that after the Sunday service, and then we had some time of fellowship with the saints there, and they had a young group of a fine youth group. And they do things a little different in Alaska. They took them to the top of a mountain. And on Saturday, I was like, hey, they were like, hey, do you want to go out and hike? And I said, well, no, I'll probably just study and do my job. You guys can go have fun. So Jonathan and Julian took off, and they said, well, if you come, you know, we've got all the stuff for you. And I'm like, no. I'm like, well, we've got an extra pair of ice cleats for you. And I'm thinking, you're going on a hike. What do you mean? And she said, oh, the ice cleats. You know that the mountain climbers put on the bottom of their boots, the metal spikes that stick into the ice? We've got a pair for you. And I was thinking, what on earth are you doing? And the hike that they were on, they climbed to the top of one of these mountains that you see, and it was 3,600 feet elevation, and they were using ice cleats and that's the kind of hikes that the youth group go on. So it's a pretty rugged place, and it's a very adventurous place. So it's kind of a unique experience. But these believers are just top-notch people. That's Jonathan and Julian there on top of the mountain. So then we went on the second leg of our trip, and we were heading out to Chivac, and you can see right there on the right that the plane, the big jet, lands in Bethel from Anchorage. We got delayed because of the weather in Anchorage, and then we landed in Bethel, and the weather was kind of weird, and we had already missed our flight to the village. So they land right there on the tarmac, and then you go right into just a little tiny building, and that's the whole airport of Bethel. It's about 5,500 people in Bethel, very small town. Everything that's in the town is flown in by airplanes, gasoline, cars, food, everything. So everything is extremely expensive in Bethel. So it's separated and isolated from the rest of humanity, and what gets in there is flown in. So it's a very unique place. There's a lot of military people that live there. So we got to Bethel, and that's the stepping point to Chivac. You have to go there, then you take a bush plane to Chivac. So when we got into the little terminal that goes to the bush plane, this is what we saw, and there was all kinds of Eskimos trying to get back to their villages. because they come out for health care and all kinds of different things, and sometimes to shop, and then they'll go back. And the flights were all out of whack, so it was crowded, and flights were not going where they were supposed to. And on the left there, I don't know if you can see it, that's John Anthony. He's just knocked out there on the right. So we ended up getting stuck. And what happened was is that we missed the main flight, and then I was going up to the counter, and they say, yeah, we're just not able to get you out just yet because of the flights are all out of whack here. So I was like, well, what are we supposed to do? And they're like, well, just hang tight. So we sat there for a few hours, and the weather was kind of weird. And you can see here it was actually not that cold because everybody's like, are you thawed out? Was it cold? Blah, blah, blah. And it actually wasn't that cold, but it was really windy, and it felt cold, but it actually wasn't that cold. But they had rain. So the problem is when it's 40 degrees on the ground and then you get up, 500 feet to 1,000 feet, it's sub-zero temperatures. So if it's raining on the ground, then you get up towards sub-zero temperatures, the water on the wings turns to ice. So they literally don't want to fly, and they'll turn you back. So we got out on the tarmac, and you can see this is the runway. It's covered in ice. We got in the plane, and they got us on a flight. So we got a 12:30 flight, and everybody's packed in there. We're full to the brim, and this is the plane. So it's a little Cessna. And we got on the plane. We were super excited. We're heading out. And then all of a sudden, we get about 20 minutes from the village, and the pilot says, folks, I'm trying to get you in. They just closed the airport, and they closed Scammon Bay, which is a village right next to them, so we're heading back. So we're all on the plane, and we're heading there, and we're super excited, and then all of a sudden they say, we can't land because we just can't get there. It's too dangerous. We're going to go back to Bethel. And this is the whole trip right here. It's super windy, and you can see all the snow on one side of my body. The snow was diagonal because it was snowing, and it was super bad winds. And these faces describe the whole trip. And I'll be completely honest with you. It was disappointing because you're trying to get somewhere and you're super pumped and you're thinking you're gonna really do a work for the Lord, and then you get turned back and you got to go home. And so we went back to Bethel and we stayed in this hotel. The floor was tilted because of the earthquakes. So they don't have a Marriott in Bethel. They don't have a Hilton in Bethel. They have an inn in Bethel. And it was okay. And but it was tilted because of all the earthquakes that they have. So this was the best room we could get. And the weather started to turn bad. So we're stuck there for a day. We wake up in the morning and this is the weather. And we literally have to sit there. Now, the next morning when we got up, we still haven't been able to get the CHEVAC. The weather turned bad. We got up, and then the power went out. So we're in Bethel. Now, there's nothing that can get into Bethel or get out of it unless it's by plane. I don't have cell signal. Nobody in the town has cell signal because all their phones aren't working. There's no Wi-Fi. The power is out in the entire town. So the whole town, all 5,500 people have no power. And we're stranded there for about 6 hours. And Anchorage, they won't send a jet until they have power. So there's no way to get anywhere. And it's honestly one of the first places I've ever been where I was actually literally stranded. You have no way to contact anybody, and you have no way to get out. And we were just fine, but it's kind of a unique concept. And you may not understand, how could you not get to where you were going? It's a very rugged place. And if they say the weather's too bad, you're not going anywhere. And if the pilot doesn't want to risk it, then you're not going anywhere. And Brother Andrew Boy Scout, who is the brother that I was going to see, we were going to see in CHEVAC, he said, brother, this happens a lot, and if you get stuck here, it's okay with me. But you could end up getting stuck there for a week and not be able to get anywhere, and then get stuck in Bethel again and not be able to get out. So it's a very rugged place, and we had to make the call, and we spent 2 days trying to get out to the village, and which ate into our trip too much. And then eventually the power came back on. They sent a plane, and we just tried to get on that plane as fast as we could, and we got back to Anchorage. So that was the trip. And we went back to Anchorage, and we had a service that evening. And, the Lord moved, and you just have to trust that the Lord knew what he was doing. You really do. Because it's very disappointing, and there was absolutely nothing that we could do to get out to that village. And that may seem disappointing to you, but for us, it was an amazing adventure. And for these guys, it was an amazing experience. And I want to give them a chance to talk about it. But I just thought it'd be nice to show you some pictures and share with you what happened. Jonathan, why don't you come on? This is the youth group there in Chivac. And the night that we didn't make it, we FaceTimed with them. And they sang to us over the phone, and it was a great, great time. But thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, like Steve said, it was definitely a fun adventure for us. It was a little disappointing, you know, sitting on the flight for about an hour and getting about 20 miles out from Chivac, and I'm looking at the GPS, and he's starting to bank, and he keeps banking. I'm seeing us turn around. I'm like, oh, great. So, but anyway, you know, still had a really good trip. I wouldn't count it a wasted trip at all. We really had a good time in Anchorage with the believers there, and like Steve said, it was a really, really good group of believers there. It's just a really sweet atmosphere in the church, even though it is a small church. And even staying with the Takes family, it's really nice being able to fly, you know, 3,500 miles away and feel just as at home there as I would be in my own home. So that was, I know, it was a blessing to me, as it was to Julian and Steve. But yeah, you know, our main goal was to go out there and, you know, do a little filming and visit with the believers there, and we weren't able to do that, as Steve said, due to the weather, but we had fun. We had fun being stranded together. Bonded, for sure. yeah, it's definitely a good trip, and we're looking forward to going back again and try to finish what we tried to start. I'm not exactly sure what all Steve wants me to say, because he's pretty much covered everything. Basically not leaving much for Julian to say either, but we appreciate the support that you guys have for us and your prayers as we're traveling, because we needed it, especially in the situations we were in, and really appreciate your prayers, and I know they appreciated the services there, you know, everybody praying together. That's what really makes the Lord move, and together for whatever he's planning, which we didn't know, but it worked out, so thank you.
Nothing for me to say other than we had a good time, but really it really was a blessing to be able to go, and really to mirror what he said, to be able to go and see believers halfway across the U.S. that are just like us, just like you, and sang the same songs. I mean, we sang some different ones that we didn't know, which was a challenge, but it was still great. It was a great atmosphere. The music, I was talking to John earlier, the music there, they had a cello and a piano, and that's it. And a guitar every once in a while. But it was beautiful song service, beautiful time. The services were great. It was definitely an encouragement to go out and be able to do what we did. Again, I'm looking forward to be able to go again later. Hopefully we can make it back and do the filming. That was the one goal. But again, just to reiterate, it wasn't at all a wasted trip. There's no doubt in my mind about that. You know, we may never know why we weren't able to go out to Chivac, but there's a reason for it, and I'm glad we were able to go at least to Anchorage.
Thank you, Julian. And John. And Steve. Whenever you get the opportunity to go and visit other believers, different parts of the world, it's a blessing. I'll tell you what. And I think it's great. It makes it easier for the boys to go another time, the next time, to be able to, you know, go into the villages and to be able to film. And but it is a challenging place to go. On the pictures, it looks so majestic and so wonderful and pristine. You know, when you look at it, when you get there, it's a different story. It's rugged. It's rugged. And it's quite an adventure. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's just take a few moments. I want to just capitalize on the few moments that we have. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll just read a little passage of Scripture here. I've got not a lot of time tonight, but I wanted to just talk a little bit about an important little subject here. So let's just take a few moments. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We welcome all of you today. Good to have the folks that are here tonight that weren't here today, and friends from West Virginia, and each and every one of you here tonight. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So here's the person who knows, wanting to make sure he doesn't project his own knowledge. But he knows. He's got the revelation that Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. But he's determined not to project himself in this ministry. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, and a power that this is done so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. May the Lord add His blessing. You may be seated tonight. Let me just reiterate a few dates here for you. The following Saturday, we have the marriage banquet. And Brother Craig will be here for that and then for Sunday services as well. The following Sunday night, we'll have a communion service. And our Easter meeting follows that. Father, son, mother, daughter. The Adventures Day will be on June 28th and 29th. Then we'll have the men's meeting in September 27th, 28th, and 29th. That'll be held here, the men's meeting. And then Israel trip in October, last of October, and then the Winter Youth Retreat will be held at Carson Springs. These are the main events. People are asking me about them again, and they want to have the dates there. I've taken out one from the screen I showed you last time, which was the trip to Zambia, and we've got some changes happening there already. So I'm going to put that, leave that out of the mix here for the moment. But these are major dates here and events for the upcoming year. Now, let me just very quickly give you a couple of statements here. And this is, I'm just going to carry on from where we were this morning, and we were talking about the ministry of the mystery of God that was given to Brother Branham in according to Revelation chapter 10. And Brother Branham says that there was never a time when the theologians ever had an interpretation of the Word of God. The interpretation comes only to a prophet. Now, there's lots of theories and there's lots of ideas that smart men, spiritual men had, theologians had through the ages. And it's in man. If you're a Bible student, if you're one who studies the Word of God and understands anything about the Word of God, whenever you read it, there are questions that come up about, well, who is this or who is he speaking about? Or what do they mean when they say this or that? And Brother Branham said, through the ages, men have probed at what all of this meant. But the key to understanding or unlocking the symbolism in the book of Revelation really was held for a prophet because a prophet wrote it in the first place. And so therefore, Brother Branham's giving us an understanding very gently here that your expectation should not be in theologians and people who have thoughts about this, because that really doesn't count. And that's not God's pattern. God's pattern is simply this. The word of the Lord comes to a prophet. So if it's God's book, if it is the, as I said this morning, the Barak Elohim, which is the breath of God or the expression of God, then God's going to use a prophet to be able to speak that word on the earth in the time when it comes to pass. So prophets can say it, but nothing is said about it officially, if you like, until the time when it comes to pass. So, for instance, when Joel said, your young men shall see dreams, you shall speak in unknown tongues and so forth, Joel prophesied that back in Joel 2. Nothing is said about that until the day of Pentecost when Peter comes out and says, this is that which is spoken by the prophets. So in the season when it comes to pass, it's identified by somebody who can authoritatively say, this is that which was spoken by the prophets. Now Martin Luther, for instance, Martin Luther was a great man. I have a lot of good to say about Martin Luther. But he came along and thought that he perhaps would have been the fulfillment of Malachi 4. And he told people that. He wrote it. There's books, I have them, where he implied that maybe I am that, you know, that prophet that was to come at the end, because this is the end of the Dark Ages and the end of the time of the dormancy of the Scripture, and now all of a sudden it's in print, and Gutenberg is there. He's almost bankrupt, but he's, you know, doing the printing of the Bible, and all of this is coming out, and he's implying that he's the one who's fulfilling Malachi 4. He's close, but he wasn't right. because there's a time and a season for every word to come to pass, and God interprets His own word by bringing it to pass. And it was not for Martin Luther, although he played a part, but Malachi 4 specifically was for a prophet in the end time. So it's the book of God, which is a book of prophecy written by the prophets and interpreted by the prophets. So, Brother Branham, we can attach several different scriptures to his ministry. In Revelation 10:7, this is the one that we're looking at, because in services, this is the time Brother Branham knows he's coming. This scripture is coming into play. It's coming into view. As a result of that now, he sees and he begins to describe things that are coming for the bride. This is a great day. It's a prelude to great things for the bride. These are things that are going to be happening. And then, secondly, these are things that are going to be happening to the church, the nominal church, the unbelievers, the people who are, like in the days of Noah, outside of the ark. And these are the things that are on the agenda for them versus the things that are on the agenda for the people of God. So, I just struggled with the button thing, so I thought I'd beat that tonight and just wear the sweater. So just stay with me here tonight. I'll get through this. So God likened his prophets to the eagles, and they're watchmen. Their eyes are made spiritual so they can see approaching dangers. That's one of the things they do. And God today still has eagles. He still has prophets who are messengers. Okay, so God still has that. That's not just an Old Testament concept. That is something that is current today, because God's able to do whatever he wants to do. And he prophesied of a prophet coming in the last day, and two more prophets to come as well, out in Revelation chapter 11. Their spiritual sight is far greater than the priests in the temple and the ordinary man in the walk of life. Hey, they're just made different. I don't have that kind of sight. I don't have that kind of foresight where I can look and say, wow, this is coming. This is what's happening. I don't have that. Brother Branham was made, and prophets are made differently. They're able to be lifted up in that realm of God and see the future that only God knows. Come back and tell the people on earth, this is going to happen, thus saith the Lord. We're going to have an earthquake here. We're going to have darkness here and so forth. Therefore, it pays to take heed when we hear of things that are approaching, let me add, by a prophet. Are we okay? Because there's lots of people say there's things coming and apocalyptic events that are coming. Nostradamus predicted lots of apocalyptic things. I was reading the other day, there was an article out there about seven new signs that an apocalyptic event is ahead. Well, that catches my attention, right? Whoa. And I look at that. And one of them they were talking about is the bees, the problem with bees. Yeah? B-E-E-S. Bees. And they were saying that, you know, here is your plate if there are bees in the world. Here's your plate if there are not bees in the world, right? All the nutritionists here are nodding their heads. The other rest of you are looking at me saying, you have to quit reading things like this. Just read the message. Read your Bible. And they were talking about the cataclysmic events that are going to take place in the world, especially among us who are used to a nice-looking plate, right? If there's no bees, there's no pollination, there's no all of this other stuff that goes on. And you know what? Mankind's in trouble if we don't have bees. So everybody should raise bees. All you young people should get into raising bees. And that is true. You should be raising bees. But it's kind of not on the first tier of priorities for us, spiritually speaking. But that's how people look at it. Brother Branham's simply saying it pays to take heed when we hear of things that are approaching. Now, here's a prophet warning us and saying there are things that are approaching. There are things that are happening here. I'm looking at certain things. World Council of Churches, looking at the governments, looking at the American economy, looking at things. And why is he doing that? Because he's built like a prophet to give forewarnings. You build like a prophet to see things that you and I don't see. And you're not going to see it on CNN.com. You're not going to see it on the headlines of the paper. You're not going to see it by watching television or the news or something else. You're going to see what people think are happening and what people think is going to come to pass. But when you have a prophet, he's looking through the lens of God at things that are inevitable, and it's not a guess and it's not a probing. It is thus saith the Lord. And that's the difference. So prophets see differently, and they see consequences for the unbeliever, just like Noah said, hey, it's going to rain. And then they see the promises and the blessings that are in store for the believer that lay up ahead as well. So, Brother Bam says, we come to the church dispensation's end time. This is one of those things he sees. We come to the church dispensation's end time. Guess what? This thing called church, this thing that traditionally has been in place for years and years, guess what? It's come to its end. He doesn't say this is the bride's end time. This is the church's end time, because the bride the bride goes on past the tribulation and goes on into glory, right? Remember, Brother Bram saw the two parade, and he saw the bride go this way and the church go that way. The church runs smack into tribulation and stops there. But the bride, they keep going on without death. Glory to God. They keep going on and go right on all the way. The same sun that came and changed the dispensation then comes again. And this is going to be from earth to glory. So the path we're on actually takes us from here to another kingdom, to another dimension. Somebody say amen. It takes us out of our body into another place that God ordained for you from before the foundation of the world. Now, so Brother Branham's prayer in 1962 was, Lord, he says, thank you for giving us good rest and for knowledge that we have of your word and the understanding that we have of the Spirit and the spiritual things that are found in the Word of God, God's principles, and constantly praying that you'll give us greater understanding so that we might not be vain, puffed up, or proud in ourselves, and we have no right, no reason to be that way. Everything we know, everything we are, is because of His grace. Not because you got a better mind or something else, you got more money, you're in a better church than somebody else. It's God's grace entirely. And that grace does not depend on your physical location. Like the brother said, they can go into Alaska, never been there before, walk in, feel at home. Hey, that's the same Spirit that anoints us, anoints them. It's the same Spirit all over the earth anointing the bride of Christ. You can't go to another church down the road here and feel the same thing. But we're the presence of God. We're two or three are gathered in my name, and they're believers. There will I be in their midst. You can have music, you can have crowds, you can have all of that, but there's a difference when His presence comes near. And so Brother Bram's saying that, you know, may God give us that so that we might be able to, He might be able to use us for the fulfilling of the Word of God and to place us positionally where we need to be at this hour. Not back in 1963 or 1962, but where we need to be now. Because we're not living back there in Brother Bram's day. We're not living in Jeffersonville. We're living right here, right now. God, position us, place us, enrich us, enlighten us, and lead us. Because this is where we are. Is that okay? That ought to be our prayer. We ought to pray that every day. You ought to write that down and put it on your fridge and pray it every day. But Brother Branham realizes he's not living in a vacuum here, and he's not preaching to just believers. He realizes that, you know, he said many times, my ministry in America has not been very forceful because it looks like the people are so confused. Imagine now being a prophet and knowing that his ministry, to me now his ministry is forceful. To me his ministry is powerful. To me his ministry is unforgettable. It's unparalleled. I mean, more miracles done in this age than practically, you know, you take the New Testament and look and see, and yet in the last day, God bottlenecks all of this, you know, great ministry in the last day here. But the thing that waters down the effectiveness, the thing that dilutes the effectiveness of his ministry is because people are confused, and that confusion comes because people are teaching this and teaching that and going this way and going that way. And he said, instead of taking the Bible, reading it for yourself, being convinced by the Holy Spirit. So remember now, it's not just the prophecy you need to have, but you need to have that inside teacher that quickens that Word of God and makes it real. Right? That's for all of us. So Paul says, even though I'm here among you, and even though I'm right here now, and I'm teaching in Corinth and ministering to the people in Corinth, your confidence and your hope is not based on me. It's based on the excellency of God's Word. And he said, that's the thing that you want to put your hope and your trust in. And he said, it is not to stand at the bottom line. He said, it's not to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, that's really quite an amazing thing, like I said, because he's the man who has been given an understanding above all the disciples and the apostles. He's been given this understanding superior to them because God has used him as a vessel to take the mysteries and the obscure things of the Old Testament, tie them together with the life and ministry of Christ, and present Christ through who's going to be the baptizer through the whole of the New Testament here. So he knows, but he wants the people not to put their confidence in him. But he knows. Because this is not about Paul. It's not about Brother Branham. I said, it's not about Paul. This whole thing is not about Brother Branham, not about Paul. It's about Christ. Amen. And they knew who they were pointing to. They knew who they were illuminating. They knew who their ministry was bringing people to. They knew that. But the caution always is that somebody with such a great understanding and with such signs and wonders and with such supernatural phenomena following them, the danger is that people say, wow, you must be the man. Or even confuse the person for Christ themselves. And that's wrong. That's wrong. I said that's wrong. And Paul therefore, he downplays that, Brother Branham as well, because they're not wanting people to follow them. They're just a man. They just have been placed and used by God in a peculiar, supernatural way. But our faith and our hope is in Christ, right? But Brother Branham never pointed to himself. He pointed to Christ. Brother Branham never intended to have a kingdom built for himself or to himself. He pointed people to Christ. Absolutely. But it's still incredible what they knew. Here's Brother Branham. And I've given you this statement before. I love it. As we study this, he's in the first seal, all right? It's opening up to him. He's excited. Well, you'd be excited, too, if the pillar of fire came in your room and told you what to say tonight. Right? I mean, that's what he said. He doesn't know. So the pillar of fire comes into the room and tells him what the first seal is. Hey, I'd be ready to preach, too. You hurry up with the singing. Come on, come on, come on. And now, as we study this, he says, comparing it, the first three books of Revelation is seven church ages, then seven seals, seven trumpets, vials, unclean spirits like frogs. All this goes together. It all, you know what? It all fits. It all goes together. My, how I'd like to have a big map, PowerPoint, and draw it all across the way I see it, how each one takes place. All right, he's seeing something nobody else through the ages saw. John saw it in symbol form, but nobody else has seen this now. I drew it out on a little sheet of paper. I mean, that's pretty amazing. He's got all of this drawn out on a little sheet of paper, and everything so far hit just exactly right with the time, the ages, as they've come and gone, and everything is blended in just perfectly right. You know what? This is just great. I wish I could show it to you the way that I got it here, or had a board I could put it on here. He's got it all marked down, graphed out here, and this is the way it is. A couple of months earlier, this is what he says, and sirs, is this the time? I don't know, sirs. I'm only honest with you as brothers. I don't know. Is it time? Is the mystery all finished? Has the sounding, is it over? Have we missed this? Is that really them seven thunders fixing to utter something out that the little group is gathered together will receive rapturing faith or go in the rapture? I mean, is this God coming forth now with what we need to have our bodies changed? For we shall be changed as quick as the angels come. He's asking the question. I'm only saying what the tape says. I don't know. I'm being honest. He said, I don't know. You know why? Because this is the thing that was hidden. And I'll tell you something. When God hides something, it's hid real well. Even people as close to God as Brother Branham was in 1962, he doesn't see it because God hasn't allowed him to look into the Scriptures in this way now and have the illumination that he needs to have. But then, you know what? In a few short months, here he says, oh yeah, he says, I got it. Here it is on a piece of paper, and it all goes together. Can you tell the difference? I don't know. I do know. I got it written down here. What happened? The only thing that happened, folks, is Christ. Amen. That's what happened. He came on the scene, Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down. And here he is now, imparting to a prophet, because that's the pattern, the word of the Lord comes to a prophet. He's actually giving to the prophet the things that other ages were denied, because it wasn't time, and now gives that prophet things for you. Hello? He didn't give it to denominations. And you know what? Even if he gave them to them in the form of a seven seals book and gave everybody a free one, it still wouldn't impress them very much. You know why? Because you got to have a receiving set from the sending set in order for this message to really catch your attention. So it means the world to us, but it doesn't mean a whole lot to the people of the world. So from this now, Brother Bam's ministry takes off. From this, Brother Branham moves, like I said, he moves into a level, if you like, or a depth that other ages, that he had not experienced in other phases of his ministry. This is in September 1st, 1963, and he preaches the morning service. This is desperation, so this is the night service. The morning service is the token. The first time he preaches the token. And he said, now this morning I got started and I thought I'd just carry that over and tonight. It was just so tremendous, just too tremendous, he said. In other words, he was so excited about the morning service. And I hope there was some good tapes on it so it can be carried out. I hope we got the recording of the sermon, the token, so it can be carried out. You know why? Because the token is not going to do you any good if you just know about it. You've got to apply the token, right? Everybody, okay? You got to apply the token. So I hope they got it so they can carry it out to be known with all the message I've ever brought that absolutely was ordained of God as a regular commission like the seven seals and things, but this is directly the Word of God, and that one, that's needed to follow the seals. So in other words, the seals in a sense were like a gateway that opened up things that now God is right there saying, say this, say this, say this. And the people need to now take that word and apply that because this is the pathway home. This is the way out of here. This is the way to the change of your body. And follow this. Now, either Brother Ram's really right or he's really wrong. I contend he was really right. He was really right because it was not him. Even with, if I come to you with the excellency of speech, that's not what he was doing. He was coming to let Christ use him to attract the bride's attention, to bring the bride on a certain pathway. Not everybody's interpretation, but a certain pathway. Come on, to get us to glory, to get us all the way there. And that's what's happening. That's what's going on. Now watch what comes after the seals, the uniting of the people, uniting signs, the red flashing light, as I said to you before, the greed, the immorality, the knowledge, and all the other things that happened. Sign of the women getting prettier and what they would do. And now look at where we are. Days of Sodom repeated again, and all of these signs. Not one of them in themselves are convincing enough, but all of them together are a flashing red light to let us know, hey, we've arrived at the time, we're moving in a certain direction, and God's in control of this. Let me drill down on one particular thing here that I want to leave you with, and that is this. Brother Branham's ministry here, what we're talking about, serves as this a time, the seals and all that followed it. It didn't come at the beginning of his time on the earth, it came at the end of it. So as a prelude, and we know what that word means, right? Pre. As the prelude to that, we had two pulls. When Brother Branham's into this, he explains this to us. And let me leave you with a couple of statements here. And then we'll, who knows, we might drill down a little bit more. He quotes Revelation 10. This is Anointed Ones of the End Time, 1965. He said, and when that church age is done, denominated and become a church age, notice this messenger. When he starts, he begins to declare his message. Notice when he starts, but when he begins to declare his message. The first pull, which was healing in his hand. I've told you before, Brother Herb Smith was up there in Erie, Pennsylvania, a young boy, and he's sitting in the front row. Brother Branham was there, feet hardly hitting the floor, and he's watching Brother Branham, and even Brother Branham rolled up his sleeve and showed the people. They were not in the preaching service. They were in a room. It was a big meeting room. And he rolled up his sleeve, and he said, now watch this when I take this patient's hand, and she had something wrong with her. And he said, Brother Herb said it was angry, dark streaks that ran up his arm like this and jerked. And he said, matter of fact, Brother George Smith told me, he said, Brother Branham could never wear a watch on that left hand. It was the left hand where he took the patient because the energy would destroy watches and they would never work on his arm. So he had to wear his watch on his right hand side. And Brother Herb said it was angry, dark streaks that ran up and down his arm. And he said when the disease was there, he said that was evident. And when he would let go of the hand, it would be gone. When he would pray for people and take their hand back, his skin would be just like the other one. And he rolled up both sleeves and showed him. And that was a sign that he had, that God gave him to be able to know what the diseases were. Brother Branham had an idea by the intensity, by the type of streaking that went on, what kind of disease this was, how serious they were. And he doesn't explain that very much to us. That was the first pull. Second pull was prophesying and knowing the secrets of the heart. He said the third pull was the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. So we're in a third phase now. The first two phases are there, signs. The third one is the opening of the word. There's no more higher order to reveal the word than the prophets. He comes back to that again. The only way a prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember this. This is what he repeats. Remember, the third pull was the opening of those seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. So this is going beyond the typical understanding. These are the things that were locked or sealed in symbol form in the book of Revelation through the ages. Men probed at, but nobody definitively understood until we had, thus saith the Lord, promised in the last day. So the first and second pull were that sign in the hand, prophesying and discernment that he had. In Souls in Prison, Brother Branham explains it again. Notice the first pull, second pull went from one to the other. And I predicted, you remember when I first started about that, about the first, and I said, when he's in the days of the first pull, I said, remember, there'll come a time, and he said, I will even know the secrets of the heart. That's what he prophesied. And then one night, I was in Regina, Saskatchewan, and walked on the platform, and I have a picture of this meeting. And Brother Baxter was there, several thousand people, and a man walked up on the platform, and Brother Bram said, there was his life right in front of me. He said, I never had to try. In other words, these pulls faded one right into the other. And he said, I looked at that man, saw his life, I knew his past, and I knew what was exactly what was going on. First time this had happened in a public setting, he knew exactly what was going on. Brother Branham talked about because they were so supernatural, so unique. It drew lots of attention in the world to him and that ministry, which was the intent. That's what God was doing. He wanted to draw attention to that ministry because not just of the supernatural phenomenon, because supernatural phenomena doesn't rapture anyone, right? But what he's doing is drawing attention to the third pull, which is the opening of the word, which is going to contain truths that were not revealed in other ages. So let's just look at this. Let's take the third pull now. Let's just break it open just a little bit. I'm only going to be a few minutes here. The first thing that it is the opening of the word and the ministry of the word that goes on. And I like to think that a real minister today who preaches the message of the hour continues this step, to preach in the open book, to preach in the open word. I mean, that's to me what we should be doing, because that's where rapturing faith lays. Rapturing faith doesn't lay in signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow the believer, but they precede a prophet. You okay? The second thing is, it is the manifestation of the sons of God. So God identifies through this third pull the phenomena that takes place. And for instance, you know, you look at this list here, you're all familiar with the phenomena that took place here. Like Hattie Wright, when we talk about manifesting the sons of God, here's Sister Hattie Wright who demonstrates to us that you don't have to be overly spiritual. You don't have to be a man. You don't have to be, someone lay hands on you for you to sit there in the corner of your kitchen and say, that ain't nothing but the truth. Because that's all she said, right? She just listening to Brother Branham talk, and she just says in her heart, that ain't nothing but the truth. And that's it. And you know what that happened there? God must have got so excited with that, you know, knocked over his footstool and just showed up on the scene and said to Brother Branham, give her whatever she wants. She's not a man. She's not a preacher. We don't even know if she sung a special. We don't know if she did anything except acknowledge the truth. And that's what sons and daughters of God do. They somehow inherently, intuitively, supernaturally, my sheep hear my voice. They just know it's right, and they're not ashamed to say so. And that manifests the sonship and the daughtership of God. And Brother Branham, you know, he gives the other examples here, and the examples of the little fish. And I've told you before a little background story of how the Woods brothers are out there in the boat with Brother Branham, Lyle and Banks, and they're out in the boat there, and they're talking about the woman that led them to the Lord. They're talking about this old sister who led them to the Lord in Sunday school years ago and had done really good things for those young boys years ago. And they were saying, you know, we ought to go back and tell her. We ought to go back and just thank her for what she did for us. You kids ought to go to your Sunday school teacher, even if it's Steve, and tell him, thanks, Uncle Steve, for teaching us and taking time to show us. And Brother Branham was in the boat, and they're talking, that's the subject that they're talking about. This older lady who is, you know, she's aged now, but they're saying, well, you know, she was good to us, and she helped us and helped us along, and we remember her with fondness, and we ought to go tell her how thankful we are that she brought us that first step, because then God took us on to the next step and so on. And I mean, God must have got just so excited about that, that he comes down and Brother Branham, they said Brother Branham stood up in the boat. They didn't know what was going on. And somebody had taken the hook, you know, out of the fish and, you know, tossed it in there, and the fish had turned belly up there and laying on the water. And Brother Branham stands up in the boat, and they're all thinking, hey, you're gonna tip the boat over. And Brother Branham says, there'll come a little fish, a little animal to life. And they were thinking, well, it might have been a squirrel or something else. And then Brother Ram speaks to this fish, and all of a sudden they watch, and the fish flips over and takes off and gone. And all this is about is not Lionel and Banks doing something supernatural or speaking squirrels into existence. They're just there listening, hearing, believing, and confessing the same. And you know what? That's what God wants out of you. He does not want you to be a prophet. He doesn't want you to go to Jeffersonville and save a handful of dirt. He doesn't want you to idolize anybody or, you know, create a big ministry or a kingdom. He just wants you to hear and believe and confess the same. That's what sons and daughters of God do. The third thing that the third pull is about is preaching to the total lost. So here's Noah, 120 years, he's preaching away. He's got the truth. He's vindicated. He's got this massive ship that nobody has seen before, the first shipbuilder on the earth. And here he is now looking at this, and all of a sudden all these animals show up, two by two, all in the ark. No one's eating each other. And they're standing there looking at this, and Noah's kind of saying, haven't I told you? I've been telling you for a while. We didn't know how, but this day these scriptures are fulfilled. And you can imagine how many converts Noah must have had. I mean, he must have had an awful lot of converts after it started raining. And just think, if you're a carrier of this word and your life and your testimony are projected in the community God has placed you in, God forbid they'd be converts after fire falls. But today it won't be rain. It'll be fire. Brother Branham goes on to say about the third pull, and this is 1965. He said, I was up in Sabina Canyon. I like Sabina Canyon. I've been there one time. And went up to the place and just sat in that little place where Brother Branham had the sword come down in his hand there. And I know what happened there. I believe what happened there. Nobody else was there. Nobody else saw it. I just happened to believe Brother Branham's story about what did happen there. Just like nobody was there when the squirrels were created, but I believe that too. And I sense that there are spiritual places in the earth. I'll tell you that there are unspiritual places in the earth, that's for sure. But there are spiritual places too. Places where you just feel a different atmosphere. It's just there. If you go to Jerusalem, you're standing on the Mount of Olives and you're looking over at the Temple Mount and you see the temple there. And I'll tell you what now. There's nothing you can say that would describe accurately how you feel when you look over the mountain and see that. Brother Branham said, I knelt down to pray, raised my hands, and a sword struck my hand. And I looked around and I thought, what is that? I'm beside myself. And here's a sword in my hand, bright, shiny, glistening in the sun. Here's a man who's had countless numbers of visions, and now he's got a real sword in his hand. It scares him. I said, where did that come from? And the voice came back and said, not a king's sword, but the king's sword, the word of the Lord. Fear not. It's only the third pull. It's the vindication of your ministry. This is what that's been about. This is where we've come to. This is what matters now. This is where we're going. Brother Branham, because of the angel's instructions, he doesn't explain all the facets of the third pull to us like we would like it. Because when he tried to explain the other ones, he got messed up. People got messed up around him trying to listen to it. And the angel told him, don't do that. Don't explain those things. Remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that third pull because it cannot be. Now, it's in existence right at this time. It's just happened. So it could identify its presence among you. See, but it will not be used in a great way until the council tightens up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything that can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily may manifest it in the fullness of its power. Stop. What you got to do when you find a statement like this is wait until it comes to pass. The most treacherous thing you can do is try to manufacture this on your own. And say, oh, I'm a believer, yes, sir. And I believe that we've got the message of the hour, so therefore we're going to move mountains and we're going to speak this into existence and speak that into existence, and I'm going to... That don't work. Because it's either God does it, or we're going to wait until God does it. Hello? Because sometimes people will take this and say, wow, you know what? Hey, if it's in existence now, and if it's, you know, to the totally lost, but it's for the bride of Christ, and nobody can impersonate it, and I'm a believer, then you know what? I'm going to go manifest supernatural power now. Hey, listen, power and character go together. And if God wanted us to have more power, I believe we'd probably have better character. All right, can I say it this way? Diplomatically, Lord, work on our character first. Because power without character is satanic. So, Lord, develop in me whatever I need. And you know what? Even if I never manifest any sort of great power or anything down here, Lord, give me the character that I can fit into heaven with the saints that have already crossed over. Give me the kind of character I need to be able to blend in with those people over there and shake hands with people over there. I'll tell you what, when you get over there, there'll be no intimidation go on over there. You'll never feel inadequate over there. When you get over there, you'll be fitted for that place. How many can say amen? Amen. There'll be no, well, you know, I feel like if I say something, everybody will laugh and I'll feel stupid and I'll, you know, I'm too young and I don't know on this and I don't know that. And here I am among prophets and sages and Martin Luther and John Wesley and Brother Branham and John the Baptist will be over there and Elijah will be there. My goodness, and Moses will be there and Abraham will be there and Daniel will be there and David will be there. And I don't want to say anything, you know, because it's just me. Let me tell you something. You're bought with the same blood they are bought with. And when you get there, we'll all be given out robes that all look alike. They'll all be the same because there's no great ones and little ones over there. I believe that we'll all fit in over there and there'll be no intimidation and glory. Yes, sir. So this happens when God triggers it. And the trigger He gives us, the only one that's here, is when the World Council begins to tighten up. And let me tell you, we've got liberties now that, you know, we shouldn't complain about at all. We got things that the government is doing that's squirrely out there, but I'll tell you what, we don't have limitations or restrictions or threats because we come to church and believe the message, right? Nobody's blogging against us directly, yet. Nobody's throwing rocks through our window or locking us down here, yet. But if things tightened up, we didn't go with global warming or we didn't go with this or that or something else, women's rights or all the other things that are out there, then there might come a pressure, and it might come from sources we may not expect, but either way, whenever that squeeze comes and there's a need for this, because God's not a show-off, I believe if there's a need for a greater manifestation, I believe God will bring it, and you know what? That's up to God. And I believe we'll probably be able to acknowledge and see and thank God for supernatural things being done. But for you to pursue it and for me to pursue it and say, hey, we're going to be a supernatural church and do supernatural things, You can fall into a real trap trying to produce something that God has not ordained. Because we don't really know what God means by this verse. We don't really know what Brother Branham is defining. He's obviously holding back on giving details here because the angel is telling him to hold back. And I think that's probably good advice because if you give people too much information, you know what? They can become dangerous with it. Right? It's like me and medical technology. Right? I know enough just to be dangerous. And we had to be very careful about that, right? Me and Dr. Google, you know, So we had to be careful about things because we can wade in the areas we're not ordained to wade into. And you know what? You can make things worse by wading in the areas you're not supposed to wade into. And so therefore, let God bring to pass what God has determined we will have and don't try to produce it on your own.
last statement that I want to make. Souls in prison. Brother Bram said, all those who rejected the message of the hour in the days of Noah, the gospel was preached to them. He said first, and then they went without mercy. God shut the door after his third pull. The third pull at Sodom, the doors were shut. No more mercy. Been that way in every age. Every age rejects the message before judgment. God is just. God is fair. He gives warning before judgment. Is that pillar of fire appearing, he said, down here in the river? He said, when God is thoroughly vindicated, it's him. Not some poor, ignorant person. In other words, don't look at me. This is not about me. Brother Bram's saying it's not me, the unlearned, this person here with God's given gifts and supernatural phenomena that follows this. This is not about me. But he said, now we have we come to the place, to the spot that the third pull would return again to the lost eternally? I mean, are we at that place? Because if we are, then this is the mercy call. This is the mercy that God extends to the world. That's why, to me, we should witness to people and we should tell them, hey, God has done great things. You want to know why I believe like I do, why I dress like I do, why I conduct myself like I do? Why do we go to church, you know, as much as we do? Why do we do that? Because God has given us a message. God has given us something. God has beckoned us. He has called us into something that we cannot resist. We're like moths to a light bulb. We just come to it, and it is a glorious thing. It is an illuminating thing. It is a life-changing experience to come to this. And I want to come to it. But remember, at the same time, it is a mercy call to people out there who many of whom will reject what you have accepted. Nonetheless, we should witness because we don't know who God's elect are. And you don't know what's in the heart of man. You didn't even know you were predestinated, let alone your neighbor who now sits out there and drinks a six-pack and mows the lawn and doesn't care about what happens on Sunday. You don't know who they are. And you don't know what God did from before the foundation of the world. And you shouldn't walk around as a judge. You should rather walk around as a witness and an ambassador and tell people about the amazing grace of God, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Why don't we stand to our feet? So the third pull is the same, at the same time, two concurrent things. It is a blessing to us, it is power to us, but it is also a witness to the lost. And so therefore, it becomes an extraordinary thing. This is what Brother Bram's moving into now. He doesn't say all of this prior to the opening of the seals. He says these things after the opening of the seals. But in Sirs, is this the time he's looking at this and wondering how this is going to be? What form is it going to come in? What shape is it going to be like? And he doesn't really know. But he comes into it. He steps from first pull, second pull, into the third pull. He comes into it and he says, now just watch what happens after these seals are open here. This is an exciting time. Exciting time. We're not like the boys that went to Alaska and almost got there. We're going to be the people who actually get there. That's not a criticism. Because these guys were blessed being there. They don't come back here looking for the blessing. They're blessed just because of what they had done. They're blessed because they're with the believers up there and get to travel to that part of the world. But let me tell you something. That's this life, and life holds experiences like that. What's incredible for us is that the promise is that we go all the way through to our destination in glory. All the way through. And we leave all of this world behind, and all of its disappointments, and all of its sickness, and failures, and everything else. We go all the way through, all the way to glory. I'll tell you what, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. It surely is. Fill my way every day with love. Let's sing it tonight. Fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. And let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast trod, straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Yes, fill my way every day with love. with a song and a smile. Number three, and soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, left behind in my home above. The way to that shore, oh, fill my way every day with love. Yes, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, and let me go all the while with a song. And when the battle's over, yes, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Sing it again now. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shining crown. And when that battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. And one day when I was lost, he died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Yes, I know it was the blood for me. And one day when I was lost, he died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. So take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day, and don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow him. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him and follow. Lord Jesus, we thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. When we think about the great, wonderful things that have been reserved for this last day, now, Lord, this blooming, this understanding, this visualization of things, Lord, that your prophet spoke about, through the ages they probed at and wondered, but never really could piece the pieces together. Lord, you raised up a prophet in the last day, Lord, and he took all those loose ends and tied them together so neatly for us. We thank you, O God, because we know it is your grace, your elected promise, what you did before the foundation of the world that brings us into an acknowledgement of the plan of God. And Lord, we are redeemed and we thank you and we know it. We want to live like it and walk like it. We want to just appreciate, Lord, your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for our young men that have a desire to go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel to the uttermost.
Lord God, I ask that you would just bless them for their efforts, Lord. And may, Father, if another opportunity comes, Lord, for them to be able to visit the saints in the far north, Lord, we pray that you would again open that door. Lord, we want to say that we love you and we appreciate you so much. Because, Lord, you're so patient with us. You love us in so many ways. And we want to just acknowledge that tonight. Have your way, Lord, I pray. And, Father, among those that are sick tonight and some that are listening, we just pray that your precious presence would abide with them, that might give them strength. That, Lord, you might bless the caregivers and the caretakers. And Lord, you might help us to be able to help others that are in a time of need. We want to say we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your care. And now, Lord, we in turn, we want to care for those that are hurting. We lift them before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we ask these things. Anybody knows about the grace of Jesus? I do. Sing it as you go tonight. God bless you. Anybody knows about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Oh, anybody knows about the love of Jesus? I do. I do. Three. And if anybody knows about the power of Jesus, I do. Oh, anybody knows about the power of Jesus, I do. I do. First verse again now. And if anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We worship you in spirit. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. That we find the strength of the Lord. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wondering, but in praying. That we find the strength of the Lord.